take up your cross and follow Christ, nor think till death to lay it down. For only those who bear the cross may hope to wear the glorious crown. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, good morning. Good to see you all here. I just had to quote a line from that hymn because I love that hymn. I just love it. You know, could hear it every Sunday, but that would probably not be appropriate. But anyway, just to get into the sermon today coming to us under the title, What is Necessary? What is necessary for us, for each of us, individually? What is necessary collectively for us to live out our faith? What is it that God, Christ, is calling us to? Now, we all have our own daily necessities. We have our obligations, right? We have our duties, things that we have to do to get along in the world, get up, go to work, make sure the kids are on their way, make sure there's maybe some dinner on the stove at the end of the day. Just general obligations that we have to do, all of us. But again, what about the life of faith? What in this arena is necessary? What are the essentials? Now, these are great questions. For any time of year, but especially now in this 40-day season of renewal and examination, to ask these questions. We go into our gospel passage that says right there at the beginning, Jesus taught them. And what is he teaching them about these necessities? He lays out our charge, deny yourself, take up your cross, follow him. And he lays out his own necessities. There's a word there in that first sentence where it says, must. Must means what is necessary, what is within the divine will of God's salvation story. He lays out his own necessities, what must happen to him. The Son of Man must undergo great suffering, be rejected, be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. Now, none of this in the time made any sense to folks. To Peter, it made no sense. The Messiah was supposed to conquer and not suffer. He was supposed to work with the chief priests, not be rejected by them. In this teaching, Jesus had it all wrong. And so it's no wonder that Peter took him aside. And it is no wonder that Jesus rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan." Jesus was describing God's necessity, not man's dreams, divine things, and not human things. The grand plan of salvation was at stake, as temptation whispered. No, not the cross, not this journey, but God's plan was there. Incomprehensible to those who first heard it. Rejection, suffering, crucifixion. Take up your cross, Jesus said. And no one in their right mind would do that, even if they knew it was, you know, in some sense perhaps a turn of phrase. But they knew in that time that the cross was horrible. It's no surprise that Jesus died with barely 100 followers, telling people to take up their cross. And everyone knew about the cross. And the Roman Christians, for whom Mark wrote this gospel, had fresh and painful, painful memories of what the cross was and what it meant. So we cast ourselves back in time. 65 CE. is around when this gospel is written. So if that means we're about, you know, 30 years after Jesus' death. So there are plenty of people walking around who remember Christ, who know the story. And it is also the time, if you know your ancient history, of the great fire that happened in Rome, the one that was attributed to Nero. You all know that? About that fire that happened? And so it happened, something like 30, 40% of Rome was burned down. People were thinking it might have been the emperor's doing, and so he needed a scapegoat to cast the blame upon. And the Christians were perfect. Again, think of the cross here. The historian, Tacitus, writing shortly thereafter, described the Christians as, quote, a class of men loathed for their vices. He went on to say that they held to a pernicious superstition. And so at Nero's command, they were fastened on crosses, and when daylight failed, were burned to serve as lamps by night. The cross held no attraction for the Christians in Rome. But in their story, it became a necessary thing. For where society only saw shame, humiliation, and defeat, they saw the strange and peculiar path to victory and eternal life. It was necessary, yes, necessary for the Son of Man to undergo great suffering, and equally necessary for his disciples then and now, for them and us, to deny ourselves, to take up the cross, if we want to follow him. And so again, the question comes, what is necessary for you? How do you define these necessities in your own life? What is it that fires up your faith and your sense of calling? For my own self, self-denial and being present in the moment were two essentials that I found necessary to my priesthood early on. They first came alive for me during my seminary days in New York. I was doing a pastoral internship at North General Hospital in Harlem. And this is one of the things that they asked us to do is to sort of put ourselves into a pastoral and clinical situation so that we begin to understand that the priesthood is more than just the finery of liturgy or how we dress and what we wear, but there are other elements that are involved that must be attended to. So on this particular night, I was assigned to the late shift and had been told to keep tabs on a particular patient who was near death and his family was gathering. So every now and then on this night, I peeked in, conscious that I was not a priest. I was just an intern. So what could I do? What would I do? I hoped that he would last through the night, for I was in no hurry to witness death. As I ended my final round, I stepped into his room and knew he was not going to make it through the night. He was going to die soon in front of my eyes. And so once in the room, there was nothing to do but join the family and wait and pray. In those moments, nothing else mattered. The 8 hours already spent, the late night schedule of the subway trains, all that mattered was for me to set aside my needs and to be present and begin to truly understand the challenge and the awesome responsibility of being Jesus' representative, his priest, to his people, to understand that I was called to lose my life for the sake of the gospel and for him. And so I stayed and prayed and watched this man die. And then I prayed some more. It was an eerie, mysterious, and spirit-filled experience that left me exhausted. Perhaps my cross was the burden of sorrow I carried that night on the long subway ride home. "Feed my sheep," Jesus said. "Feed them love and consolation. Feed them with my presence as best you know how, and know that I will be with you. The one who speaks to us today is not merely a great teacher, as some would say, not merely a purveyor of timeless wisdom. He is the incarnate one, the Son of Man, who vowed to come in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. But until that divine eschatological event occurs, we pray for him to take hold of our lives and to call us and press us to deep faith-filled reflection so that we can answer the question, what is necessary for me to follow him and glorify his name? What is the necessary thing? What is the ministry that you are called to? It could be the ministry of reconciliation. As St. Paul says there in the second letter to the Corinthians, right? We're called to a ministry of reconciliation, which might then call you to bring those panels about the Trail of Souls exhibit that's in room 102, to bring out that truth. And sometimes in our ministry, we are confronted with a truth that is painful, a truth that hurts. I read the panels there, and there's a couple that come to mind. One is a panel that is from a church around 1904, and they write to the bishop that we are surrounded by colored people. We need to sell this church and move. We are surrounded. And there's another panel from the 1660s, which cautions free English women from marrying slaves. And it goes on to say that these women have lost their sense of who they are and, to the disgrace of the nation, have entered into this shameful union. The ministry of reconciliation calls us to look at that and see the painful truth, but be reconciled by that truth. That could be the ministry that you are called to, the necessity. It could be to make meals for those who gather at the homeless shelters and those there for the winter relief. That could be the ministry. It could be to head over to the Stanton Center to sit with a child who's struggling to read or do their numbers. That could be the ministry. But in this time, brothers and sisters, we are called to answer Jesus' question. What is necessary? What is the necessity that, as I say, fires your faith, that lifts you up and makes you rejoice, makes you glorify his name, makes you say, I am glad to be a soldier in the army of Christ. I am glad and blessed to be called by his name, to be called by his ministry. Jesus taught his disciples, if you want to follow him, deny yourselves, find that ministry, take up that cross, and walk with Christ. Amen.